I have been reminded of how undeserving that I am to be here today. Such a great price, but he bought it, and it's ours. But before I begin to give my testimony, and Brother Hudson spoke of the children, I met a little boy yesterday. I didn't know him. And I said, "You cowboy or Indian?" And he didn't answer me. And I thought, he's too shy to speak. But then he said, "I am a Christian." He had it right. Brother Devin Birdsong, his family, probably the most popular family here today. And their oldest son was with us in Guatemala sometime this year. And that 11-year-old sang the gospel message. So we've got him. He's 11 and we have him. I saw his hands in the air just now. And just a little side note, I did see him walk a young girl arm in arm down the aisle. So somebody might want to make an inquiry. But I do appreciate the children. I have spoken to over 6,000 this year and took them the gospel story. And I really believe that's why I'm here today, is because God had this in mind. And I knew nothing about it, but God did. But when I turned 65, that's been just a little over 2 years ago, my wife had had a family doctor. I don't know that I'd ever seen him. I'd met him in the hospital with her once. But he agreed to take this Medicare patient. And I went in for the initial exam. And I seemingly were foolish, but not foolish at all. But I told the doctor, I said, "Dr. Knapp, God healed me of being a diabetic 20 years ago. And I sat on an altar where Brother Tommy pastored in the month of January, and one single prayer, and God healed me instantly after being a diabetic for 4 years. I got down to 164 pounds, and I was thinner than I am now. But he took blood tests, and after a while he came back. He said, "Well, you're not healed, but you're doing a good job." But earlier that year, I saw Brother Jimmy John Milliken at the Sepulpa camp meeting, and he was very troubled because God didn't heal his brother, and God hadn't healed his brother. And he said, "The devil's got me to where I don't know, should I even mention God's power to heal?" So I said, "Brother Jimmy, I'm going to tell you something that I've not told anybody, because I don't like the devil to laugh at the church. I said, I'm having trouble with sugar again. I've had elevated numbers. And the devil simply wants to make a mockery. It's not a defeat. I can tell him I've had 20 good years. And who can beat that? But I said, the devil's out to destroy our faith and confidence. But I said, I'm not moved by it. We're just human and we live in this world. But I told the doctor, I said, the Lord healed me, and I never intended or expected to have diabetes again. But I said, I'm having trouble with it. And I said, my sister died with pancreatic cancer. My sister just older than I. And he passed it off as though it was something to laugh at, that God had healed me. My wife said, you got off on the wrong start with Dr. Knapp, because he doesn't like that. Well, that was in July. I came to Roanoke, Virginia, to the missionary conference in the fall. Seemed like it was September, October, maybe November, whenever it is. And I had a gallbladder attack while I was there, and I never told so. I just simply got in my car and headed home. And I suffered terribly. And got home and went to the doctor, and had an x-ray to begin with. And when I came off the table and started to leave the room. The lady that sat behind, she come out. She said, "What's going on?" I said, "Oh, a little discomfort." And she said, "Have you got a doctor?" I said, "Yes, Dr. Knapp. We'll get these results." So I went and seen him again, and I had gallbladder problems. So they then took a CAT scan. And when they done that, they found what they called neoplastic on the duct of my pancreas. And I didn't know what neoplastic was. So I had to get me a dictionary. And you guys all know it, but I didn't. But that's a tumor. And they said there are beads lining that duct. And we went into surgery. And I was well pleased. I tell you, I was back home by 11 o'clock. And I was going to the tap and getting my own water. I was just doing fine. But the doctor that done the surgery came out and told my family before I ever came to, said, "We're going to be very aggressive about Dan's cancer." So a few days I went back to see Dr. Baker, and he discussed the procedure and told me how they was going to cut this out and this out to be able to get to that pancreas to take that out. And then people don't survive pancreatic cancer. So why would I go through that? So we didn't do that. So then they wanted me to have the down the throat and go in there with the needle and take a biopsy. And, I'm nervous about a lot of things and not about death or whatever. But I said, "Look, Doc, can you tell me that it won't cause it to spread, to disturb it?" He said, "I can't guarantee it, but I don't think so." I said, "Let's put it off." And he told me, he said, "If you'll get me an MRI, that's all I need." And so I got him the MRI, and then he wanted to see me back in his office. And I thought MRI was enough, Doc. He said, "Look, we have to have the biopsy to know what kind of chemo treatment that you need." And I said, "Well, I'm not quite ready for that." I said, I want to build a house for my wife and get things in order, because people don't survive." And he said, "You'll probably live 6 to 9 months." And I need to build a house. So my wife said, "Dan, I don't want you to do that." And I said, "Betty, I'm not sitting in the chair and dying." I said, "I'm going to do the last thing I want to do for you, and that's take care of my absence for you." And so we started the house, and the day that we tied the steel in the floor, I told my sons, I said, "Boys, I will never finish this house." I was in such pain and sick. I said, "I'll never finish the house. And if by chance I'm here, you boys will have to finish it." Well, we made some progress, and the day come that we got it ready for sheetrock. I sat in a chair, and they got it wired, plumbed, heat and air, insulated, and we're ready for sheetrockers on Monday. And I told them, I said, "Boys, I said, I'll never do it. There's just no way. I can't do it." And my children finished the house. But in this period right along there, Brother Tommy, Brother Jonathan Brock, they got together and brought brethren together at the church at Kellyville. And we met, and they prayed. And I felt the Lord touch me that day. And I went in the strength of that for some time. And I went back to Panama. I thought I'd tell all the pastors goodbye. And I got down there, and I never told one of them goodbye. It just wouldn't come out of my mouth. I just couldn't get it said. But I made that trip. We had camp meeting, come home, had a doctor's appointment, and Dr. Knapp said, "Dan, what are you going to do about the cancer?" And I said, "Look, Doc," I said, "if we're early and the numbers are good, whatever you say, I'm ready. The house is built, and I'm ready." And he said, "We're not early." And I said, "Well, I'm not doing anything. If we're not early, we can't do anything promising. I'm off." And he said, "Well, I'm going to call hospice in." And I said, "No, I'm not quite ready for hospice." And then he began to tell me how convenient it was that all your Medicare and everything's turned over to them. They'll deliver medication to your house. And he said, besides, it's going to be a quick, and very painful death. He said, you probably will be on IV taking medicine for your pain. And so we thought about it, and after a while, a few days, I called him back and I said, we're ready for hospice. And so we began that process. And they came out, and just wonderful people to be, you know, and comforting with what they had to say. And needless to say, I grew worse and needed more medication and more medication and lots of medication. Hard to get off of, too. I understand people abusing prescription drugs. I tried to come off and had to go back, and I worked my way off. It's just a little harder to walk away from than I thought it would be. But just after 2 months, short of 5 days, after several close calls with death, and I knew that I was going, one nurse broke down and told my daughter, said, I just lost my dad, and said, this is very hard for me. And Gwen said, well, we're thinking about taking shifts. And some of us go home and some stay. And the nurse said, if you want to be here when your dad dies, don't leave. Because he can go anytime. He's that close. And I wouldn't leave if I was you. And so that, you know, troubled everybody. But I had great peace. And I want to tell you, probably the greatest experience in my life was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It was wonderful. God's word was so close and so alive. Everything that I read spoke of life to me. And I saw God in every verse. And not only that, his presence was so near. And I had came close several times. But some begin to even wonder, because of my attitude, did I even want to be healed? And I was asked that. Can I pray that God would heal you? I told one brother, I said, look, every option is on the table, and I've agreed to every one of them, whatever God wants to do. But I said this, I said, look, do I question the wisdom of God? God and all of his greatness and his wisdom and his understanding. And I bring God back to the table and remind him of what he's not yet thought of. God, you've not thought of my wife. You've not thought of my children, and I need to tell you what's not being considered. I couldn't do that. I couldn't say, Lord, think again. But I just surrendered to the Lord. I want you to know it was peaceful there. It was wonderful there. Saints came and prayed. But this particular night, when it looked like that I was going, I began to go to bed, went into the bedroom. I got in there and going to lay down. And I told Betty, I said, I don't like it in here. Death had come. And I looked at my bed, and I knew that if I'd lay down, that's where I would die. I laid down at 9:20, and by 9:30, I couldn't get my breath. And I said, Betty, I can't breathe. I've got to get up. And so I went in the living room, and all my family was there, their spouses except one, and several grandchildren, their spouses. And immediately the Holy Ghost filled the house where we were sitting. And that death left my place, and it never came back. I wasn't well then, and I might say this now. I had a tumor here on my head, and we buried my younger brother that year, just a few months before, with this melanoma that went into his brain. And this was here. My wife wanted it taken off. I asked Dr. Knapp. He said, look, you got bigger problems than that. He said, I can take it off, but that's not your big problem. So we left it there, and I'm glad that I did. I began to ponder what God was doing. And on August the 7th, which will be, I think, next Saturday a year, I went to the place where they would take blood and run tests. I walked in there on my own, and I said, look, I want a CA19-1 blood test made. And so they done it. I don't know when the results will be back, but while I was there waiting in the room, I believe it was, I told Sherry, my daughter, I said, when we get home, I want you to write on the calendar that this is the first day of the rest of my life. I did not know till I'd got all the papers from hospice after this ordeal was over that August the 8th was my day of death. They gave my sister 9 weeks to live. She died 9 weeks to the day. I guess they may have better ways of knowing than I do. But August the 8th was my day of death. I did not know that. But August the 7th, I said, this is the first day of the rest of my life. And so the next morning, it was sent to me by email, and I had a normal rating. It was all clear. That cancer that had output was no longer putting that into my blood, and I was cancer free the best that I could tell. But let me tell you this. I had this little tumor here. My family, they wondered about it. I said, look, children, when God heals this, this will be gone. Saturday of that week, after going off the hospice on Friday, I was in the house. Brother John Roberts called from Panama. I was just walking around talking to him on the phone, and I rubbed my hand across my forehead. And I said, Brother John, you won't believe what I just done. I said, I brushed my hand across my forehead, and that tumor fell off into my hand. I didn't feel that on the inside. I can't look there, but God can. But God gave me an outward sign, not that we didn't believe, but just that I could make mention of today, no doubt. But it fell in my hand. Yesterday, there was blood coming from it, and it looked terrible, but doesn't matter to God, but God healed my body. A few days I went to have that test made. I wanted to validate the claim. And so Dr. Weston went down my throat, took that little device, got a needle on the side of it that's going to go out the intestine and go over to the pancreas and take samples. He said 4, maybe 5 passes. Said your throat will be sore because we're making these passes. Well, I was asleep, didn't know it happened. And then when I woke up, the doctor came in and said, Dan, I hardly ever see this, but you have a perfectly healthy pancreas. No neoplastic, no diabetes, but God, it healed my body. Why? I don't know. Maybe because there's a lady in Guatemala said, Dan, there's 10,000 students that I want you to bring a gospel message to. That may be the only reason that I'm alive today. That lady told me, said in 2001, her boss said the area is so dangerous, nobody wants to work in it. And she said, I will go. I want to make a difference. It's her that invited me, but it was God that gave me life again. I want to tell you today that I am a walking, living, breathing miracle before you. I'm not making a boast. There's nothing on my part. I'm only a voice to give honor to God. But God does heal. Why he has not healed others, I don't have the answer. And I didn't question God about my situation. But I am a witness to the power of God's healing virtue and to our children today. God does heal, and he's able to do it again. His word is infallible. His word is unchangeable. And God has magnified his word above his own name. It's to be honored today because the promise of God, they're sure. God is a healer. God is able to heal again. But I want to tell you, we must be content with what the Lord chooses. We have to be content with what the Lord chooses. The most amazing thing about my testimony was the grace that God gave my wife, myself, and my family. Hospice came out. I had went into their office the day before, And I was there and could hardly breathe and talk. I was very choppy, just couldn't get no air. And they changed the ladies 4 or 5 times. I think they were evaluating me. And one would go back, we got to send somebody else out and let them talk to you. And I think they was making an evaluation, because the next morning, Tony came to visit me. And he sat down on the sofa beside my recliner where I was. He said, "Dan, are you ready for this?" I said, "Tony, yes." He looked at Betty. He said, "Betty, are you ready for this?" She said, "Tony, I've never been here." Brother Tommy knows my wife. When we moved out of our house, you've moved furniture, the head post, the dresser, they leave marks on the carpet, don't they? When we moved out of my house, there were 2 marks in the carpet. Out in front of the ottoman that was in front of a high back chair that had cards of missionaries pinned to them. And those imprints was my wife's knees that made the imprints. My wife said, "Tony, I don't know, but I've always prayed, and I know God will help me." He looked at me and said, "Dan, is your family ready for this?" I said, "Tony, they struggled, but they have accepted that God knows best. I paid for my funeral. It's an oak casket. Come and see it. I'll take you to the funeral home. Let them look at it if you want to." And the headstone, the monument set. Brother Lissandro, I brought him to America to see me before I died, and then I wanted him to come back to speak at my service. Well, instead, I took him out, and we took a picture of my marker, and there's Dan Roberts, 1948. That's all that's on it except for Betty over here. It's pretty. It looks like a peaceful resting place. But Tony said, "How about your family?" I said, "They struggled, but they've accepted it." And I stopped, and I said, "Tony, there is a knowledge of God, but God is to be experienced." And I said, "I've experienced God. My family has." We talked probably for 30 minutes, the Word of God. And Tony said, "Dan, I've talked to many believers, but I have never felt this. I want you to know God will go with you all the way, even to the end of the world." The day that I signed off a hospice, we spent about 30 minutes in the scripture. He said, "Just a moment." He ran to his car and got his Bible. He said, "I want to mark the scriptures that you have brought to our attention today. I want to tell you, wherever you're at this morning, the Word of God is your stay. People surrounding you will be great support. But don't you forget that little book that contains the very word of the Creator God. And they are words of life, and they are spirit. They will lift us up." May the Lord bless you today. I thank you for this time. Lunch is about ready. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. This is not your source of faith. It's in the Word of God. This only supports you as you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. We're in a testing time, but don't waver, because God don't change. He's with the church. I can be disturbed, but I'm not, because I know Him. I appreciate the message today so greatly brought out. But the message last night of hope, and as long as there's life, there's hope. Could I add another verse to that? As long as there's hope, there's life. If you got hope, you'll make it. We're saved by hope. So let's believe in God, and let's hope against hope. So may God bless you today, Brother Philip.
Thank God. Go ahead and applaud there. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for His marvelous, marvelous, marvelous healing, grace, and mercy. Hallelujah. So, Brother Crane, I want you to get ready to come and sing Peace in the Valley. Will you come on, Brother Randy? Amen. Come on to the piano and help him there. However you go. But last year, our church, we sent to Brother Eugene Baker's work there in Guatemala. We sent a team. My niece Amy is a nurse practitioner. We have several nursing medical people here in the church, and we sent them down. Brother Baker has over 500 students there in that Christian school. And so they did workups, medical workups on all those children, hearing tests and all kinds of stuff. Anyhow, and they're supposed to go back again this year. But Brother Baker's school has done such a tremendous job that the Guatemalan government has recognized Brother Baker's school as the best school in Guatemala. The model school, an ACE Christian school in Guatemala, is the best school in the country. Because of that, they have opened up to Brother Baker and allowing him to go in and preach the gospel into all of the schools in Guatemala. And Brother Eugene has contacted Brother Dan Roberts to go preach in all the schools in Guatemala. And I'd like to receive an offering to help Brother Dan to be able to go to Guatemala. Would you like to help Brother Dan go preach the gospel after God has healed him? Would you help him to go preach the gospel to those children in Guatemala? We're going to give you that opportunity. Hallelujah. And he can shout hot tamales while he's in Guatemala. Hallelujah. Because the Lord has healed him and given him an opportunity to win souls for the gospel. Amen. Could I get some brothers to come? Brother Jason Schuler, I see you back there. Come on, Brother Seth. Thank you. I need a couple of others. How about you? Come on, Brother Jeffy. Brother Eldridge, come please. And let's take care of this congregation. I love Dan Roberts. He is a genuine Christian man. Hallelujah. God bless.